and share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
That's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
You just have to see it to believe it. Best-selling author L.A. Marzulli just returned from a top-secret trip to Peru, where he returned with color photographs and physical evidence of an ancient race of hybrid giants, many standing over 10 feet tall. Marzulli crawled through the jungles of Peru, exploring hidden caves and private museums. He photographed the skulls and the skeletons, returning with a book that will change your worldview. On the Trail of the Nephilim is his explosive new book, chock full of 120 color photographs of the gigantic skulls and the skeletons and the megalithic monuments these giants built. The companion DVD, Watchers 6, documents Marzulli's trip, exposing the massive cover-up for all to see. The book is $29.95. The DVD is $19.95. Get them both for $39.95, a $10 discount. I guarantee you, you've never seen anything quite like this before. A picture is worth a thousand words. Go to lamarzulli.net to order now. lamarzulli.net. That's www.lamarzulli.net.
A reporter is plunged into the dark world of money laundering and the worldwide crime network when he stumbles across a scam so big that his life is on the line. Now the true story can finally be told. An investigation that will take you across the globe to England, Eastern Europe, Australia, Panama, Africa, and New Zealand. How an international network of money launderers got away with more than $100 million stolen from the Christian community. Exposing the Ponzi Masters is the true account of one man determined to expose the truth and the legions that tried to stop him. A story so dark that you won't believe what you are reading. A story so important, it's being monitored by government agencies worldwide. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, a true crime expose from James L. Paris, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, available on Kindle from Amazon.com.
Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the live broadcast. My name is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. A lot of things going on. We've got a great program lined up for you tonight. My guest in just a few minutes will be author Bob Thiel, and we're going to be talking about his ebook that it's going to be controversial. I'm going to let you know that right up front. And I'm getting ready for the nasty emails as well, because we're going to be talking about the prophecy of the popes. And you may not be familiar with this. It is a Catholic prophecy. And if we accept this Catholic prophecy as being accurate, that would mean that the current pope, Pope Francis, is the final pope. And we're a little bit late to this, I think, because everybody was talking about this, of course, you know, back when the Pope was selected, in one sense. But now that we're a few months down the road, we thought it would be interesting to have Bob Thiel on to talk about his book and to, you know, sort of ask the bottom line question, is the prophecy of the popes, can we now determine one way or the other that it was accurate or not? And we're going to get into all of this and also talking a little bit about the Catholic Church as an organization in general. So that'll be coming up here in just a couple of moments. If you were following the news this week, of course, you could not miss the story that Nelson Mandela died this week at the age of 95. And I don't want to get myself in any more trouble than I already know I'm going to be in for doing this show tonight about the Catholic Church. But when it comes to Nelson Mandela, I think there's a little bit of revisionist history going on. I'm not saying that he wasn't a good man in many respects and did a lot of good things, but I just would ask those people who would like to know the full truth to do a little bit of their own research on Nelson Mandela, and I think you might be surprised what you find. Of course, we all do this, right? When someone passes, we always remember them in the most favorable light. And I think that's important. I think that's just part of being human. But at the same time, I also think that we owe it to ourselves to be accurate about, you know, history. And there are a lot of people, especially that lived through Nelson Mandela's leadership in South Africa, that might have a different view on the Nelson Mandela that we are hearing about in the news media this week. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Do your own research. Check it out. You might be surprised what you find. We did a live video broadcast on Thursday, Bob Yetman and I. And it was kind of a weird situation because we wanted to do this live broadcast. But the truth was that I already had a commitment on Thursday night, so we couldn't do it on when we normally do it, which is like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock Eastern. So we decided kind of on a lark, we wanted to do this, so let's just do it on Thursday at 1 o'clock Eastern, not really knowing if we'd have a large number of viewers or how it would all work out. And what we talked about on the live video broadcast last Thursday at 1 was a new digital currency that many people are saying is the next Bitcoin. It's a digital currency that's actually being backed and funded in part by Google. And so we've been talking about this a little bit here and there, but we decided to do our video broadcast on this last Thursday. And we made an offer, and we said it was good until midnight, and so many people responded that we had to extend it another day because we had so many, you know, ordering issues, people asking questions about ordering, and then we didn't get back to them in time for the deadline. So we extended it for Friday. And then again, the same thing happened on Friday. So many orders came in, so many emails that we couldn't answer that we said, look, let's go ahead and extend this offer through Sunday night at midnight. So if you're listening live right now, you could still get in on this. And here's the deal. The deal is if you grab a one-year subscription to Christian Money Plus, which you can do by going over to ChristianMoneyPlus.com, ChristianMoneyPlus.com, grab a one-year subscription, and then we are going to give you as a bonus 150 Ripple XRP, which is this brand new digital currency. We're going to tell you how to set up a virtual wallet. Then we're going to send you 150 XRP, which is the digital currency of Ripple. A lot of you know my story about Bitcoin. I got into Bitcoin last year when Bitcoin was at $12, and recently it was up around $1,400. I know this week it's come down some, so it's below $1,000 again. But in any case, if you're interested in learning more about digital currency and also improving your personal finances, and you want to get some free digital currency, consider joining us over at ChristianMoneyPlus.com, ChristianMoneyPlus.com. Well, this is a huge week for me personally. I have to share this with our radio audience, give you a little bit of a context here. In 2001, I had received my black belt in Taekwondo, and just a few months after that, I uncovered the fact that my own brother was embezzling from me, my accountant, my own brother. And I, in the end, learned I had been taken to the tune of $2 million. And, of course, this is all in my book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. But as a result, the Paris family, we were scrounging for basic food food and provisions. And I had no money to continue training in the martial arts. So as much as I hated to do it, having just received my black belt, I dropped out of the martial arts and really regretted that and been wanting to go back to the martial arts. But, you know, man, how do you go back when you're overweight, you're out of shape, you've been out of training for 11 or 12 years, and that was kind of the predicament I was in. But I just said, you know, I want to go back somehow. Started looking around for a martial arts school here in Palm Coast, Florida, where I live. Didn't really find one that I was all that enthusiastic about. Started looking in a neighboring community of St. Augustine, Florida. Found a school. They were having sort of an open house. This was last April, so April of 2012. And I showed up there. I showed up late. The open house was already over. And so I walked in the front lobby, and the only person there was the owner and his wife and one of his employees. And I said, hey, you know, here's my story. I got a black belt, you know, 11 or 12 years ago. I'm thinking about getting back into Taekwondo. And he gave me a free week. So, like, they had a promotion where I could get a free week of training. So I went back as this totally, completely fat, out-of-shape black belt. This was in April of 2012. And here we are. It's unbelievable. But Friday night of this week, the 13th of December, I will be testing for second-degree black belt. And that's this Friday night. So this has been a long journey for me, and this week I've kind of committed myself the last few days and the rest of the days up until my test. I'm going 100% overboard with exercise and healthy eating and lots of water and all that good stuff to make sure that I'm totally ready for what will be a four-hour test with about 12 other fellow students of mine. Everyone on the floor will be testing for first-degree black belt except for me and one other individual, a 12-year-old boy. He is also going for second-degree black belt. So that's coming up on Friday of this week. So I will be reporting to you next Sunday if I pass the test or not. I did pass the pre-test a little over a month ago. There was a three-and-a-half-hour pre-test to be able to qualify to take the test. So I got through that, and this week is the black belt test. So, all right, let's move ahead here. this is crazy, but it's become now, it's become the new, what do they say, internet meme. Everybody's talking about it. Sharkeesha, it's a new video, and it's really a tragic video. It's of a couple of young ladies, African-American young ladies, and one is talking on the phone, and the other just punches the other girl right in the face. And I guess her name is Sharkeesha. And so this has gone just completely viral all over the internet, this Sharkeesha. It's even become like a phrase. So if you're really mad at someone, you might say, I'm about to give you a Sharkeesha. I mean, this is how crazy this has all exploded. But, and you can Google that. It's Shark, S-H-A-R-K-E-I-S-H-A, Sharkeesha. You'll see what I'm talking about. And young people know all about this, but us older people, we're sort of just hearing about it the last 24 hours or so. But in the most recent issue of my newsletter, and again, if you're a member over at ChristianMoneyPlus.com, you do get a copy every month of my 12-page newsletter that is mailed to your home. But in this month's issue, I talk about something called the knockout game. And this is where teenagers around the country are walking up to strangers, complete strangers. And one teenager will have a video camera or an iPhone or something like this where they can videotape what's going to happen. And they literally will walk up to a total stranger and punch them as hard as they can right in the face, trying to knock them out with one punch. And this is happening all over the country. And what is just bizarre about it is how random this violence is. And this is the scary thing when we look at random violence. I posted a story on my Twitter feed. Check out my Twitter feed. My name is James L. Paris on Twitter, so you can check that out. I posted this last night, a story from USA Today. A newlywed couple, that they get married, they go on their honeymoon, they abduct a total stranger and kill this man because it was their fantasy to kill someone together as a married couple. So they killed someone on their honeymoon. So of all the honeymoon activities, you know, you might say, hey, I want to go to Venice and take one of those boat rides. I'd like to go on a cruise with my wife. I'd like to go to Hawaii. Maybe go to the mountains for a week. No. We want to actually, as a new couple, we want to abduct someone and kill them together. And this was a totally random act of violence. And this is one of the things that I, you know, I'm talking more about, you know, as a martial artist myself, trying to help the general community, you know, children. I'm head of our neighborhood watch, trying to teach folks how to defend themselves. You know, most people make the mistake of believing that, look, I'm a good person. You know, I'm in bed at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. I don't go out to bars at 3 o'clock in the morning where all the trouble is. So I'm not going to be a victim. You know, I'm someone that shops at Walmart. Well, it's still light outside. I'm not someone that's out in the spooky and scary parts of town. But look, violence is now becoming completely random, whether it's the knockout game or this bizarre thing now where a newlywed couple abducts and murders someone they want to do something together as a married couple. So they go out and murder someone together. That's the allegation. Of course, innocent until proven guilty. I don't want to get myself sued here, but that's what the charges are. And that was in USA Today. I put that up on Twitter yesterday. Just weird stuff going on. Then there was a story, a few weeks ago of a young teenager here in the United States is jogging and ends up being shot. A couple of teens are bored. They don't know what to do with themselves, so they say, let's get out a .22 rifle and shoot someone. And they just sit up on their porch and just shot this guy, poor guy just jogging by. And, you know, this is the thing. When we look at what's happening in the world today and we look at the random nature of this violence, everyone needs to be concerned about personal protection and personal self-defense. I just bought my wife a pepper spray gun. I have a concealed carry permit. I have a firearm that I carry in my vehicle, one here in my house. In most cases, I'm also carrying a concealed weapon where I'm going. I'm training 6 to 7 hours a week in the martial arts. You know, this is something that I think many times as Christians, we don't really look at this, you know, side of the equation, you know, protecting ourselves, protecting our family, and being in a situation today where it's just random. I mean, and that's the scariest thing, that you could just be out causing no harm to anyone. I mean, I've always thought, you know, look, if I get into a situation where someone's threatening me, they want my wallet, I'll just give them my wallet. Or if someone thinks I've offended them, I've had this happen. I'm in the store and I sort of bump carts with somebody out by mistake and they give me that look like they want to fight me. You know, I'm the first one to say, hey, I am really sorry, sir. I'm really sorry I wasn't paying attention. Please forgive me. Yeah, you can diffuse most of these situations if you're just a gentleman about it. But at the same time, there are people that are just bent. They're bent on violence. And you just might be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And one of the things we're seeing more and more is just crimes of opportunity. You know, you're just somebody who just seems like it's an opportunity for someone to take advantage of you. And, you know, I don't understand any of this crime, honestly, but I at least on one level understand a robbery. Somebody's going to rob you so they get something. But to just walk up to a total stranger and punch them in the side of the head to knock them out, what is that? I don't understand that. And I don't understand, like, this married couple, they just wanted to kill someone. I mean, what is it now about people? I mean, at least when there's a robbery, you could say, well, this was a horrible act, but maybe this was a person that was hungry or homeless or lost their job, and maybe somehow in their moral code they found a justification to steal something from someone. But when you go beyond that and you just start talking about randomly murdering people, this knockout game, two people have been killed just from being – I mean, you think, well, could you be killed by being punched? Yes. Two people have been killed from the knockout game, and there are also other stories of those that have been paralyzed as well and suffered lifelong debilitating – lifelong debilitating illnesses and injuries from this knockout game. All right. All of that aside, we're going to now bring our guest on the program. This is the first time that he's been with us. His name is Bob Thiel, and give you a little bit of information about him. He studied philosophy, religion, research, science, and prophecy, both formally and informally, for several decades. He has a master's degree from the University of Southern California. He also has a PhD from the Union Institute and University. And got a lot of interesting information here, and we're going to welcome him to the program for the very first time. Bob Thiel, good to have you with us, sir.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Would you like me to call you Dr. Thiel? I certainly don't want to be overly informal, being that I do not know you, sir.
Bob is fine. Most people in my office call me Dr. Thiel, but, I mean, Bob is fine.
Okay, Thiel. All right, very good. And I understand from your biography, if this is right, from some other information I saw online, that you also are sort of a nutrition expert as well.
Yes, I have three doctorates, and one is I have a PhD in nutrition science.
Now, we're going to get into something today that, honestly, I've been very fascinated with this topic, and I'll tell you the backstory on this. And what happened was, I had given one of our producers, Faith, the project of booking you way back when we were selecting the new Pope. And somehow that got lost in the stack. And she got with me a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, do you still want to have Bob Thiel on? And I said, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to talk about it. So we're going to maybe get into this from a little bit of a different perspective, in the sense that we're not going to be able to sit here and speculate about who the next pope is going to be and is his name going to be Peter and all of that. But even though this pope is not named Peter, I assume that the premise of your book is not automatically erased by that. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we can still have that conversation here. And for those that are listening that are Catholic tonight, I love you. And I know that many of you are true Christians, true followers of Jesus Christ with me. And many of my friends are Catholic. Many of my good friends are Catholic. So when we talk about the Catholic faith tonight, folks, we're not dismissing the whole Catholic faith here. And we're not dismissing, certainly the reality that many Catholics, if not most Catholics, are true believers in Jesus Christ. But at the same time, there's lots of questions to ask about the Catholic religion, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're also going to be opening it up for some live questions. So, Bob, the book is The Last Pope, Do Biblical and Catholic Prophecies Point to Francis I? And I guess we should start with the prophecy of the popes. Can you share with our audience what that is, and
sure,
do we
sure.
as Christian believers put any stock in this prophecy?
Okay. What you're referring to is the prophecies of a Catholic bishop by the name of Malachy. Now, I always pronounce it Malachy, that as opposed to Malachi, because I don't want to confuse it with the book of the Bible. But basically, what happened was, this particular bishop went down to the Vatican, and he met with the Pope. And this is around 1129. And the Pope was upset, or sad, or depressed, I guess. And the next night or so, this particular Irish bishop claimed to have a dream. And he received information about the remaining popes. And he ended up writing usually one line in Latin about 112 popes. And some people say that this particular list was a fraud, that it didn't happen until the late 1500s, and people put his name on it. And one of the reasons they say that is because they said the list was too accurate between roughly 1150 to 1590-ish. What he said was it was too accurate, so people thought maybe that it was made up after the fact. But when you look at the last several pontiffs that were elected out in the Vatican, there have been a lot of, you can call them remarkable coincidences, or they've been very, very similar to these particular predictions. Now, from a Christian perspective, how do we view these? Well, from a Christian perspective, I at risk of offense to the Catholics out there, I don't consider that God inspired this, and that actually shouldn't offend Catholics, because most Catholic scholars don't believe it either. But I do this is where I would differ from them. I suspect that there was spiritual intervention. I just don't believe it was from God. And the list has been basically too accurate. Now, one caution, though, that people should have. If you go through the list, there were several, I forget the exact number, between 5 and 8 people that were listed in the 112 were what they call anti-popes. So the Church of Rome does not recognize them as true popes. So one way, the only way the list is accurate, if I could use that expression, is if you include some anti-popes. And so that to me is important because according to a lot of Catholic writers, an anti-pope was supposed to come somewhere within the last 50 years or so, actually in the last 10 to 20 years, they basically said that an anti-pope is supposed to rise up. And if it's not this one, it's supposed to be the one afterwards. And so as far as the Malachi prophecy list, I believe it has been remarkably accurate. And I'll just mention two brief things. I got a book about the Malachi prophecies that was written in around 1967. And in it, this was before John Paul II became pope. And this is important because I got to read the prophecy before he became pope. And the prophecy says, of the toil or of the labor of the son. You say, well, what's that got to do with? Well, there was some speculation back in 1967 what this might mean in this particular book. But basically, with John Paul II, we have a person who was born on the day of a solar eclipse, and he was buried on the day of a solar eclipse. Now, you say, well, that doesn't necessarily prove that, what that prediction meant. Someone else said that perhaps it means that he's going to labor under the entire sun or the world and go around the world, and John Paul II probably traveled more than possibly any other pontiff. So that was one. That was followed by Pope number 111 on the list, who was supposed to be installed for the glory of the olive. Say, okay, what's that got to do with? Well, in the book I had in 1967 that was trying to interpret some of these, again, I didn't write that book. I was a little too young then. I could have written, but not something like that. Anyway, it said that this would have to do with the Benedictine order, and as it turns out, the last pope named himself, the prior pope named himself Benedict the 16th. So people consider that was a fulfillment. And you could go through some of the more recent popes, and you'll see that they're, depending on how you want to read these Latin expressions, these particular people followed or qualified. Well, then that leads to a problem. Some Catholic writers, and not all, I want to be clear, as one who has studied Catholic prophecy and biblical prophecy extensively, I can tell you that there's differences of opinion about Pope prophecy, if you will, from Catholic scholars. Some believe that it predicted every particular pope and that the last pope is Pope number 112. Well, that would be the pope who came after Pope Benedict the 16th, and therefore that would be Pope Francis. So that's one interpretation, and actually, if you believe that that list is complete, Catholic prophecy absolutely says he's the last pope and he's going to be an anti-pope. On the other hand, the Catholic Encyclopedia around 1910 talked about this and said that there could be other popes between number 111 and 112, even if this prophecy is correct. And so myself personally, I'm watching what Pope Francis does, reading things that he says, listening to what he does. I actually almost saw him when I was in Rome in June. But he was a bit too popular, so my schedule and his didn't quite fit. But I have been following what he's doing, and he's doing some things that make me wonder if he is the last pope, according to Malachi prophecy list, as well as some warnings in the Bible.
And if I could jump in right here, Bob, and for those just tuning in, my name is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. We're talking about the book, The Last Pope. And my guest is Bob Teal. And if you want to get a copy of his book, it's on Amazon. I'm looking at it right now. And his last name is spelled T-H-I-E-L. So you can find that book. Bob, it's pronounced Teal, but it's T-H-I-E-L is the spelling. The name of the book is The Last Pope. Bob, what about this whole deal about Peter the Roman? And I know that Some said that that was just sort of metaphoric, you know, or that it wasn't actually that it had to be a pope named Peter. But what was odd was that there actually was a pope in the running, that a cardinal in the running that could have been pope that was named Peter. And
there were actually at least two, I think. But yes,
there were. But and so those that were looking at the prophecy here, the prophecy of the popes, were saying, hey, well, wouldn't it be something if it turned out to be one of, you know, the Peters actually gets the position? That would really clinch it. But then others said, no, we're not necessarily going to put a lot of stock in the actual name itself. It's not about the name. It's more about the nature of the pope themselves than it is the name. Would you agree with that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, years before this particular pope became pope, I went out and said, look, I've looked over this, and the person is not necessarily going to call himself Peter the Roman. As a matter of fact, another author went out and said, look, if he goes up and calls himself Peter the Roman, you're going to have revolts, because it's going to scare people.
Well, because Catholics know the prophecy, right?
So yes, but it's supposed to be like two different interpretations of that prophecy.
Right.
One interpretation is that Peter the Roman is going to be a good individual, and he is going to really help the church. Others look at it, and unlike the other Malachi prophecy list, okay, the other sayings, which are just like a sentence, there's a couple of sentences about Peter the Roman, and basically it says that Rome is going to be destroyed through tribulation when he's in charge, basically. And so people said, that doesn't sound good. And so, this is the end of time, basically.
And this pope that we're talking about tonight, this pope will be considered a rogue pope even by the Catholic Church.
Oh, yes. And that's one part that's interesting. In my book, I've got a chapter that calls, Is the Pope Catholic? And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, I grew up Roman Catholic, and so that was kind of like a standard joke. If something was obviously yes, you just say, is the Pope Catholic? And so that, at least in Catholic families, is kind of a running joke. But I intentionally put that down as a title of one of the chapters of the book, because when I look at Catholic prophecies, Catholic prophecies suggest that there's going to be an anti-pope who's going to betray the Church of Rome. He'll obviously appear to be Catholic. He'll say he's Catholic and do some Catholic kind of things. But in his heart, he won't actually believe in that particular faith. He's going to want to further compromise it, etc. And so when I watch the actions of this particular pontiff, I wonder, because he's done some things that didn't seem particularly Catholic. And I've been reading Catholic reports who've been wondering about him. For example, now, you and I would not genuflex in front of the rounded Eucharist that the Catholics would tend to do, okay? And so, but that would be something that you would expect the Bishop of Rome to do. And, well, it was all over the Internet, apparently sometime in public when he was still a bishop in Argentina, he didn't genuflex when he's supposed to, and then sometimes after becoming a pope, he didn't genuflex when he's supposed to. And his comment a few months ago that basically atheists can be saved by their good works, which I consider to be an abhorrent concept, that got some people to wonder, you know, is this guy really Catholic? Again, I'm not convinced that Francis has to be the final pope. Bible prophecy suggests he could be, but because of his age, he may not be. But again, if you connect all the dots with a lot of Catholic prophecies, he would be that particular last pope. And if you ever want, by the way, I can read the prophecy for the 112th pope on the Malachi list, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is what it says. This is pope number 112. And again, remember that Benedict XVI was pope number 111. It says, quote, this is in English, I'm not going to read the Latin. In the final persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will reign Peter the Roman, who will feed his flock amid many tribulations, after which the seven-hilled city will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge the people, the end. or in Latin, Finis. And so that's the Catholic prophecy about the 112 person on Malachi's list.
And now there's not a lot of clues in there, though, is there, Bob, as to who this person is?
No, the two different clues are that he's supposed to come after Pope number 111, and we've seen that we don't have a 112th pope. And when I read what Malachi originally seemed to claim about the list, he was claiming it was complete. But again, because I do not believe that God gave Malachi this list, I have difficulty saying that, how right Malachi is about what he thought about his own list. But it absolutely does say that. There's absolutely no doubt that this particular pontiff would be considered 112 on the list if there's no gap between number 111 and 112. He is the person who follows Pope Benedict XVI. His age seems to be against that, but we'll see. He has taken steps. Go ahead.
We're going to take a quick break here, Bob. This is a four-minute break, so you can stretch your legs and get a fresh cup of coffee or whatever you're drinking, and we're going to be back with our guest, Dr. Bob Teal. And by the way, the spelling on that, for those searching to buy the book is called The Last Pope, and you can find it under his name, T-H-I-E-L. That's Bob Teal, spelled T-H-I-E-L. I'm looking at the book right here on Amazon.com. When we come back from the break, we're going to take your phone calls on the prophecy of the popes. Is this the last pope? Your phone calls, 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316, or email questions to jim@christianmoney.com, jim@christianmoney.com, or again, your calls tonight, 888-287-3316. We'll take this 4-minute break, and we'll be right back. Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. Recently, I did an event in Chicago unveiling a brand new service called Christian Money Plus. It's been years in the making, and I'm super excited to let you know that it is now available. At the centerpiece of this new program is the ability for you to have unlimited access to me personally using the internet. You'll also receive my 12-page newsletter mailed to your home each and every month. Now, there are tons of other benefits, such as our suite of financial calculators, model portfolios, and much, much more. Right now, I'm offering several bonuses to our new subscribers. Some of these bonuses include a video on how to use the internet to raise money for your idea or project. This is money you will never have to pay back. There's also a second video on how to save money by dropping cable TV, and I also cover on this video how to get free home phone service for life. Yes, you can drop cable TV and still get hundreds of channels on your television set legally using the internet. All of that, including how to get the free home phone service for life, all of that on your second bonus video. Additional bonus reports include how to opt out of Obamacare, as I did, and save thousands by joining what's called Christian Medical Sharing. Another bonus report shows you step-by-step how to stop Google from spying on you. All of this information is available right now to subscribers of our brand new service, Christian Money Plus. I sure hope you'll consider joining us. All of the money that comes in every month from Christian Money Plus goes to further the mission of our website, ChristianMoney.com. Check it out today. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. Again, that's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. You can subscribe right now and access all of these bonus reports within a matter of just a few seconds. Check it out right now. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to pray for a financial miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, how to pray for a financial miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com, how to pray for a financial miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. You know, about a year ago, I started getting concerned about the cost of our family's health insurance, literally costing us thousands and thousands of dollars each year, and the cost continued to go up and up and up. And I started doing some research into an alternative called Christian Medical Sharing. And I learned that through a special law, a special provision, Christians are able to opt out of Obamacare and actually get into this alternative to traditional health insurance called Christian Medical Sharing. I decided to go ahead and move into a plan like that, and I'm saving a lot of money. Now, if you'd like to find out more about it, get more of the details to find out if it's for you or not, I've written an article on it. In the article, I give you more details, including I actually mention the organization that I decided to go with. If you'd like to get all of the information on this and find out if it might be for you, check out this website, medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. That's medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. Okay, we are back. My name is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. A couple of crass self-promotional announcements here. I will mention to you that two of my books, Exposing the Ponzi Masters, which is it's been out for a couple of months, and then also my autobiographical book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, shares my whole life story, bankruptcy, the embezzlement scandal that I became the victim of, all of that, and how I ended up on top with God's help, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. Those two books available right now for Amazon Kindle, only 99 cents each. And you can grab those over at Amazon.com. And by the way, you don't need a Kindle device to read a Kindle book. You can read it on a tablet or even right on your own desktop computer. So again, those two titles, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle and Exposing the Ponzi Masters, both of those titles available for a limited time, only 99 cents over at Amazon.com. My guest tonight is Dr. Bob Teal, and the name of his book is The Last Pope, Do Biblical and Catholic Prophecies Point to Pope Francis the First. And we're going to open up the phone lines now for your questions. If you've got a question about the prophecy of the popes, please give us a call. This is your chance, or email. And I know a lot of you like to email, but as I do every week, the callers go on first, and then we'll get to the emails secondarily. So the email is jim@christianmoney.com, but the callers go first at 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316. And our first caller, one of our faithful callers, is we've got Joanne, who's calling us from Minneapolis, St. Paul. Joanne, say hello to Dr. Bob Teal.
Hi. Hi. I have a question. I don't know if it's, I mean, I'm wondering how this kind of, if it lines up with the prophecy, the Pope issue. How do you think the Catholic Church has been able to survive all of the scandals like the child abuse scandal and all that? You know, it seems like something like that would have wiped out other organizations, but the Catholics seem to be, you know, surviving this. And I was just wondering how that fits into the Pope issue.
Okay, good question.
Go ahead, Bob. Sorry about that.
Okay, there's a couple of ways it ties in. One is that the Catholic Church has an enormous amount of wealth, and so they would have to be hit pretty hard for a long time to be wiped out. But interestingly, Catholics actually have a prophecy that toward the time of the end, their church is going to be disgraced or have major scandals. And so that seems to be being fulfilled. So Catholics who actually know about that particular prophecy probably would consider what's been happening consistent with some of their earlier beliefs.
Now, Bob, is it your feeling that that Catholics in general accept these prophecies? Because I think most Protestants are probably not even aware that Catholics have prophecies. In fact, most people, I think, when you think about prophecies and studying the end times, I think you think normally of evangelicals or the Seventh-day Adventists. We don't really think of Catholics as sort of being in the world of prophecy at all, but that's not true, is it?
Oh, no, it depends. In one respect, I mean, you're totally right. But if you ask rank-and-file Catholics, most of them are not that interested in prophecy, per se. That being said, my wife and I visited Fatima, Portugal, by the way, and some apparition appeared there once a month for six months. And millions of people go there every year, partially because some of the messages that were given there were considered to be prophetic. Where the Catholics are different from, you mentioned evangelicals, Seventh-day Adventists, or Church of God groups, who use prophecy. They're looking at the Bible, they're looking at news events, things such as that. Catholics, it's a bit different. Basically, they tend to believe that they've received messages through, let's say, nuns, monks, priests, others, who basically have seen apparitions of that they claim to be Mary, or they've heard voices, they've seen certain things. And these have been written throughout history, from at least the 4th century to present. So they don't usually take the Bible and go from there, although there are books written by Catholics. I have one by a Catholic priest, what the Bible says about the end times and whatnot. But a lot of their prophecies are actually, they call them locutions or statements that some of their church leaders have made throughout history that they believe these private prophecies help explain what's going to happen at the time of the end. So I've literally read probably 100 books on Catholic prophecy, and I probably own dozens myself. So they have more prophecies than most people think. And in my opinion, what will happen is from time to time you're going to see Catholic leaders point to certain ones of them, selectively, of course. But there are lots and lots of Catholic prophecies.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me because I, honestly, until the prophecy of the popes, I didn't really know the Catholics really got into the whole world of prophecy. Now, we've got some emails coming in. Our show is broadcast over the Internet, so our biggest listenership is actually when this show gets distributed on iTunes and all that, which happens on tomorrow. But we've got some folks sending email questions in. And this next question, I'm going to ask you this, and for my Catholic listeners, again, we're not throwing your faith out here. We're just, sort of exploring some questions here. This emailer is emailing us from Chicago and wants to know what the Bible might say about a pope being the Antichrist. And I'm paraphrasing here. He's saying, or could the pope be a significant figure that assists the Antichrist? He's asking sort of a two-part question there.
Okay. Well, let me give a Catholic answer, then I'll give a biblical answer. Catholic prophecy has two possibilities. One is that a certain leader is going to be the Antichrist who has nothing to do with the Church of Rome. The other is they believe, other Catholic prophecies say it's going to be a pope. Okay, so let's start off with that. And now, I read the Malachi prophecy for the last pope, the number 112 on the list. And if you actually read the book of Revelation chapter 17, there are amazing parallels. For example, the Malachi prophecy has a reference to seven hills, city of seven hills or seven mountains. Well, so does the book of Revelation chapter 17. the destruction of this city is mentioned both in the Malachi prophecy and in the Bible. The end of a power in Rome is mentioned in both places. Persecution is mentioned in both places. Troubles and tribulations on the earth, a type of judgment and events for end times. Both of those are in the Catholic prophecy and in the book of Revelation. I personally believe that the final pontiff will be an anti-pope, whether it's this one or another one, a person who's not truly convinced of the Catholic faith. He will compromise in conjunction with the beast power, the one that the Bible calls the King of the North in the book of Daniel, chapter 11. And he will promote changes to the Catholic faith, which is actually going to offend a lot of Catholics. And this part is interesting. There's two sets of Catholic prophecies with this as well. Some say this is a horrible thing. This is that heretics are going to take over and the Church of Rome is going to fall this way. And I happen to agree with the prophecies that lean that direction. And the others say, oh, no, this will be a good thing because the whole world is going to become all one faith. But both the Bible and certain Catholic prophecies warn that the one faith that the world is going to be is not appropriate. And so it would be the faith of the Antichrist. I believe the Bible supports that, and I believe certain Catholic prophecies support that view as well.
Someone is emailing here. They're asking about Barack Obama, the President of the United States. Does any of his activities play into this at all? I've heard some say he may not be the Antichrist, but he certainly has a lot of the charismatic leadership qualities, even beyond, let's say, a typical president, sort of getting people to continue to vote for what appear to be failed policies, continue to support him on what appeared to be failed policies. Just on his own, you know, looking at his own track record, he seems to sort of be immune from accountability. That's maybe a characteristic, the idea that he seems to have the ability to get people to sort of blindly follow him. But in any case, I'm really adding here to what they're asking. They're simply asking you about President Obama, his two terms as president, and how that might play into either the prophecy of the popes, the current pope, and or any other end-time comments that you would like to make.
Okay, well, two things. First of all, in November of 2008, once he got elected, I wrote an article explaining why I felt Barack Obama was apocalyptic, and I listed several reasons for that. I do not believe it's possible that he could be the Antichrist, and I wrote a book in 2009 regarding the 2012 phenomena, and I explained why I didn't think Obama was. Now, I wrote another book, by the way, called Barack Obama, A Prophecy in the Destruction of the United States. And if your listeners do get that, by the way, Amazon, there's two editions. Get the updated one. One came out in 2012. The other came out in 2013. I mean, the 2012 one is still fine, but sometimes with Amazon it comes up, the other one comes up first. And I go through 17 reasons why Barack Obama is apocalyptic. And in my 2012 book, which I wrote in 2009, World Events actually confirmed 32 predictions in that book, and around 10 of them, approximately, had to do with Barack Obama and or his administration. So one of them was that I believed that Barack Obama would help encourage the rise of the biblical King of the South, as well as the biblical King of the North. And I believe that World Events confirmed those particular predictions. I also said, by the way, he was going to greatly increase debt, decrease priority on U.S. military defense, and make a deal with the Europeans to allow them to control part of our GPS satellite system with their upcoming Galileo system. So when you mention Barack Obama, again, I have done a fair amount of research on there. I think actually if you Google Barack Obama prophecy, I think my website comes up first, second, or third.
So that's right in your wheelhouse along with
all
this.
That's another book I actually wrote. But again, in my book, I explain why I do not believe he is or can be the final Antichrist, but that I do believe that some of his policies are helping enable the rise. And even with the current pope, again, I'm not saying he is the final Antichrist because he hasn't done enough public miracles, if you will. He's done two things that people might consider to be public miracles, but not to the point where I'm convinced that he has to be the guy. But I do believe with his actions, some of the statements he's doing, and some of his economic comments, that he's setting the world up for a new world order, and realizing the current world order, the Americans tend to be kind of on top, and the new one, the Americans wouldn't be. So I do believe he, if he's not the final pope, that he's certainly setting up events for the final anti-pope.
I want to share with you in my audience something that happened to me. It involves the Catholic Church, and to get your reaction to this, because I grew up in Chicago, and almost everybody in my neighborhood, they were Catholic. In fact, we lived a block from one of the largest Catholic churches in the city. And so it was like almost, I mean, you could see the church from my house. And so it was, a lot of people bought in our neighborhood because they could walk to Mass from our neighbor. So I was sort of, a fish out of water, you know, growing up partly in the Baptist church, and then later my parents became associated with Assemblies of God types of churches. But we were always raised to, and it's much less today than it was back in the day, like the really stark differences between Protestantism and Catholicism. And we were always kind of, you know, that was always reminded to us. It was sort of a big deal. Now, I think we as churches, as denominational differences, we sort of get along much better. And like I said, some of my greatest friends here in Florida are Catholics. But here's a weird thing that happened to me. I took my grandfather to France, and he's a World War II veteran. He was in the Normandy invasion. So I've been talking for years and years. I'm going to take you to France. We're going to go see all this stuff. We're going to go to Normandy. So we did that, and that was back in the late 1990s. And one of the things that we did was we stopped at the Notre Dame Cathedral. And I went in there as a tourist with my grandfather. And I had been in there one other time and never had this experience. And I've never had the experience I'm going to share with folks and with you, Bob, anywhere really else other than one other time, something close to this, but nothing like this. So here I am, I'm walking, we're all tourists, we're all looking up at the ceiling, and we're all looking at all the, you know, the architecture and all the beautiful, you know, items and objects inside the church, and just sort of the beauty of the whole thing. And we're walking down the aisle, and we get to where the altar is, and you have to make a left-hand turn to go across where the altar is. Now, my grandfather's with me, and at that point in time, he was in his late, actually just turning 80 at that time, so he was not, you know, in the greatest of health, but he's still living today, 91 now. And as we turn left to go in front of the altar, something hit me so strong, I had to grab two chairs, I almost fell to my knees. And I knew that it was the power of God that had hit me there. And when I left that church, it really changed something in me, because I had sort of been dismissive to some extent because of my upbringing of the Catholic faith. Like, well, you know, I'm an evangelical Christian, so we have the real faith and the Catholics are sort of confused and they don't really have a legitimate faith like we do. And I know there's a lot of differences, but I also think that there is the presence of God in the Catholic Church. And even though I think in some ways they do have it wrong, I think that God is still there, and I felt that presence like at no other time in my life, of all places, as a tourist in that cathedral, and I was completely not expecting that. I didn't go there seeking anything. There was no church service going on. I just got hit with this, literally almost fell to my knees. My grandfather didn't know what was happening to me, but my eyes were welling up with tears, and I will never forget that. And so I just want to get your reaction to, just for those listening, as much as this is great information that you're sharing, is it your view that a Catholic can still be a Christian, a follower of Christ, and that even though we have our disagreements, there still is a lot more that we agree on than we disagree on?
That's a probably more complicated question than I have for the time.
And I'm not setting you up, man. You can answer that however you want.
The first time the term Catholic Church was used in the literature in the second century was for the Church of God in Smyrna. And I believe that people who hold to that particular faith, have been baptized and received God's Holy Spirit, are true Christians. Others... We'll say I think others are confused. And
you can be you can attend a Baptist church and not be a Christian also.
You can attend any church and not be a Christian. I would say that most people have problems with that. They, if you look throughout history, I think the lessons of history help demonstrate that. But I'm not here to bash Catholics or Protestants, but to stand.
Well, fair enough. And what I want to do is, as we're closing out here, because there's so much in this book, and it's a fantastic book, very well documented. Lots of great history, lots of great information here. Tell us about this book and what people will get if they purchase the book, and then mention some of your other books as well. I was fascinated to hear you talking about your Barack Obama book.
Okay, basically, this particular book I think is $9.98 or something at Amazon, and it's like probably $2.99 through Kindle. But what they'll get from this book are biblical and Catholic prophecies explaining what the last pope is going to do, and to give them an idea. And this is one of the reasons why this particular individual that we currently have as Pope seems like he may be fulfilling some of them. And again, if Catholics who have read this book, by the way, have not, the ones that I know have not had any problem with it, because I'm very respectful of the Catholic prophecies. And I've got my own interpretation of them, of course. But my style, as you can tell by looking at it, is quote and comment. I have lots of quotes. There's lots of scriptures, lots of Catholic prophecies. And people will get the actual source material as opposed to just opinions and comments about it. And so I think that's helpful. As far as other books, Barack Obama, A Prophecy of Destruction of the United States, that one I go through biblical and non-biblical prophecies that some believe point to Barack Obama. And again, he's fulfilled various ones along that line. And I actually wrote another book called Fatima Shock, which has to do with the apparition that appeared in Fatima, Portugal. And I think I mentioned that my wife and I had visited there. And, of course, nobody cares about this 2012 subject, but I wrote a book called 2012 and the Rise of the Secret Sect. And in that particular book, world events lined up with the 32 or 33 predictions that were in it by December 22nd, 2012. And I mentioned that because I do try to be careful. I do try to look at the Bible. And when I look at non-biblical prophecies, it's not that I rely on those, but I try to explain to people, look, some predictions, just like the Malachi one that we were reading here before, a lot of things in that last Malachi prediction line up with the book of Revelation. You know, some people don't want to see the Bible. Some people would rather see from non-biblical sources. So I think sometimes it can be helpful for people who want to learn. You know, as the Apostle Paul said, to the Jews I became a Jew, the Greeks, tried to become all things to all men, whereby I may save some. So my books try to explain from a couple different perspectives what the Bible's teaching and how some people are viewing it. And I think they're fairly documented. I think people will find them very helpful.
Very good. Bob Teal is our guest, Dr. Bob Teal, and you can find him on Amazon. His last name is spelled T-H-I-E-L. Dr. Teal, good to have you with us. We'll definitely have you back again, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right. God bless you. Hey, and as we close it out, let me just, you know, share that with you folks again tonight. I was maybe a little bit surprised by his answer to my final big question there, because he seemed maybe to reflect a little bit more of the thinking that I experienced growing up as a Protestant, sort of that, hey, we had it figured out, but Catholics really didn't, and they were really lost for the most part. I don't really believe that. I honestly do not believe that. Anybody that accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, whether you're Catholic or Baptist, Church of God, Assemblies of God, and I know there's some really big differences between Protestants and Catholics, but I think Catholics are for the most part, are Christians believing much of the same things that we believe as Protestants. And I say that to all my Christian friends. I put quotes around friends, not just those listeners and Facebook friends and Twitter friends, but my real friends that I know some of them listen to me on Sunday nights as well, that I certainly don't make that judgment call. And just like Dr. Bob Teal said, you could be in any church and not be saved. You could be in any church and not be a following Christ. And I think that applies no more or no less to the Catholic Church than any other church. You know, and so this is an interesting topic. I knew it would draw some controversy. I'm afraid to check my emails again because I'll probably be slammed with emails from Catholics that may not have liked what I had to say. But I did want to share that story of my own personal spiritual experience in a Catholic church. That's absolutely true. And for me, other than an intellectual grasp of the Catholic faith, that to me was a real experience where I really felt the presence of God in a Catholic church. And I know God is there. I know God is in the Catholic churches, and that many, if not most, of the Catholic the Catholics are Christians. They are committed followers of Christ, just like I am. And so we just want to clear that up because when we have these kinds of discussions, many times people will jump to conclusions that are certainly not warranted based on simply having these discussions. All right, we are out of time. I actually went over about 3 or 4 minutes. No worries, because it's my show and I can do that. If you want to get in touch with me this week, the email is jim@christianmoney.com, jim@christianmoney.com. Over at Twitter, I am James L. Paris over at Twitter, and you can find me at Facebook, James L. Paris, as well. Unlike a lot of the quote-unquote big-name celebrity guys, I let you friend me on my personal Facebook, and so you can do that by finding me over at Facebook under James L. Paris. This is Jim Paris here, as always, to help you make the most of God's money. We'll be back with you next.
Listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.